Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Wow, y'all, the jailhouse interviews or visits with Brooks Cleary. And today we're going to be playing the last one for you. If you haven't heard the previous three and how his Brooks' story changes every single time and he just continues to lie, then go back, please, and listen to him in on the past three episodes. On this one, he continues to do the same thing. And it's just mind-blowing. I don't understand how Miss Barbara and Stella sat there with a straight face and listened to this guy talk about Haley like that. I don't get it. And I just got done listening to this one again, and it gets me all riled up, right? And so I hope it will get you riled up also. Think if it was your sister or your daughter or your granddaughter or your mom or whatever, right? And Haley didn't deserve to die. But I don't know. Y'all, please continue to like and share it and do everything hashtag justice for Haley so we can keep the momentum going and keep it growing. And next week, I'm going to lay out what actually happened that day, the truth of what happened before Haley was murdered. Okay. And because this cat hadn't told the truth yet. And we know this from other witnesses and other things that were gathered. I mean, it's a fact. These are facts. And Brooks doesn't tell them. Why? Why? Well, he knows why. So I don't know. So I'm going to play this final jailhouse interview with you now. I had some people that liked it when I interrupted and commented as it was going along. Some people that didn't. So I'm just going to go back to the original format. I'm going to play it's about 30 minutes long, this visit between Miss Barbara and Stella and Brooks Cleary, and play it for you now and talk about it afterwards.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay. So how long are they going to hold you in here?
I don't know. I have a court date for March 3rd. And that's only for a misdemeanor, marijuana less than an ounce. And I haven't been given another court date, so I guess they're just going to hold me for as long as they want to until they want to let me go, I guess.
Oh, okay. Do they say, like, what they're holding you for?
No, but my mom thinks that they're holding me until the detective or whatever can try to like blame me for like whatever happened to Haley that night.
Really?
Yeah, that's what my mom says.
They haven't said it. Like, they don't even talk to us. They don't tell us anything.
Yeah. She said that he won't talk to her really either, but she's tried to talk to him.
I mean, we've tried. They just don't talk.
Yeah.
So they're not done investigating, like we can't get in the apartment or anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you guys swung by, you could probably see if the door is like has tape on it or anything like that. Appreciate it.
Got the laptop and stuff there. I don't know. It's gonna be hard. It'll be hard to go in there for sure.
Yeah. Well, you could call the leasing office maybe.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. I can't. Mind constantly think of anything, any signs, anything that would have led to this. And I just don't, like, I don't know. I can't pinpoint anything that would make this happen. I don't know.
I don't remember if I told you guys or not, but that time that we got into an argument and everything, and she took the shotgun to like that back office room, and she was like threatening to hurt herself, but I didn't think she was serious. I took it away from her.
When was that?
That was like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. But basically, we got into an argument because we were drinking, and she thought that I was trying to compare her to like another girlfriend that I'd had in the past. And she was like, well, like, if you don't love me, like, then, you know, I'll just go effing do this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, I'm not saying that at all. Of course, I love you more than anything. I'm just saying I had an experience with a girlfriend that was similar to, like, you know, what we were talking about. And she was like, yeah, but you always compare me to other, like, girls. And I was like, I'm not comparing you. I'm just telling you that I had an experience that was similar. And she took the shotgun from the living room toward the office room. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing with that? Like, that's not okay. You can't be playing around like you're going to do something. I was like, you could tell me you're upset, but don't try to like go prove it by taking this. And she was like, just give it to me, like, let go. And I was like, no, I'm not going to let go. So I tried to like snatch it from her because she was holding it from the very ends of them, like the barrel and the, what you call it, stock. And she wouldn't let go, so I pulled harder and it broke the handle on it, so I had to tape it back together. And she started crying because that's what she got me for my birthday when I turned 19. So she was like, I'm sorry, like, I didn't mean to break it, like, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, it's okay. Like, I'll fix it. It's not even that big of a deal, but like, just don't do that shit again. And she was like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I won't. But that's the only time I ever saw her like actually grab it and go walking off with it.
Yeah. But like, you know, Haley, and you know how organized Haley is. She would have, if she actually planned on killing herself, she would have left a note, correct?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know if there's a note, but I do know
something.
I do know that we drank pretty much a whole bottle that night. So if she did anything rash, then, you know, I don't know if she'd have time to write a note. Because just like when we would drink that much, usually and get into an argument or something, she would just walk to your guys' house, you know, like all the way down that Canton Road connector or some shit. I hated that. So I would always try to go pick her up and find her, be like, here, you just take my truck and I'll just walk home. And then whenever you want, you can come back here to the apartment. So, yeah, I mean, this is the first time that she hadn't like been like, well, screw it, I'm just going to go to my mom's house or get an Uber or something like that.
Well, like, I mean, why didn't, if she was that upset, why didn't she just call me? She knew I would come pick her up.
I know. I have no idea. I think she made a mistake. Just fucked up. Because it doesn't make any sense on why she would do that.
So, I mean, and I don't even know why I want to know, but, like, how, like, I just don't even know how she could do that. Was the shotgun short or, like, I don't, was it a regular size shotgun?
It's not that long. It's just a, like, a regular size Mossberg, you know, it's not. She could hold it easily. I've taught her how to use it and everything, so.
Was it the camo one?
Yeah. Yeah. The camouflage one.
How did you not see it on the ground?
I don't know. I wasn't looking for it exactly. I just saw her, and the first thing I thought of was, like, her. You know, I wasn't like, well, let me scan the area for other shit. And I was only in the apartment. Like, I saw her, went over there, and I was only able to, like, check on her for, like, a minute or two before there was a knock at the door and the firemen were there.
Wait, there was a knock at the door? I thought you ran downstairs to get help.
No, remember the knock at the door, and then I opened the door, and I was like, yo, come in, help, like, blah, blah, blah.
Wait, so what was in the gun? Was it a bullet or was it the?
Yeah, it's a
bird
shot.
Shit. Yeah, bird shot. That, which is just a bunch of pellets.
Mm-hmm.
How did you not hear it go off?
That's what I'm thinking is weird to me as well. I don't know. I didn't hear anything go off. And I know I would have, too.
We can't hear anything. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You guys might have a volume thing right there.
I don't... No, I don't see a volume or anything. No. So... I mean, like, I know that, y'all were going to go eat or something, but did she seem upset? Were y'all arguing right before you went to change clothes?
You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need a challenge to keep them engaged? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, and adapts to each child, meeting them at their personal level. As a homeschool parent, I can tell you that IXL has been life-saving for my son, WL. He uses IXL every day and allows me to tailor his learning experience based on his specific skills, not just his grade level. If he needs support, IXL finds his current level and helps him build up to where he needs to be. And in areas where he's advanced, IXL propels him forward without any setbacks. What I love most is that IXL uses visuals in its questions and lessons, which really helps WL learn math and science better since he is a visual learner. The interactive practice problems and educational games make learning fun and engaging. With IXL, school is a positive fun experience. WL enjoys earning awards in the educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Real Life Real Crime listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to access the most effective learning program at the best price.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than the moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than the moorings.
I mean, the only reason that I would think we'd be arguing was because we were both, like, standing up when we were talking. Like, I don't remember any specific argument that we were having, but usually when we're standing up, like, I was standing kind of where the coffee table and the TV are. I was standing, like, right in between both of those. And she was standing, like, leaned up against the counter in the kitchen. Not in the kitchen, but, like, in the hallway, leaned up against the kitchen counter.
So I mean, like, when you said that you were going to go change clothes, all she said is okay? Like, she didn't say anything else? Like,
no, she was just, like, she, like, shrugged her shoulders, and she was like, okay. And then, like, turned around, and that's when I was like, all right. And then I, like, scooted by her like that and then went into the bedroom. And I couldn't have been in there for more than, like, 3 or 5 minutes because I threw on some jeans and I had my shirt on and I was, like, you know, just looking around for a hoodie or whatever. And then that's when I, like, turned around like this and looked into the hallway and I was like, what the fuck? And I, like, went over and shook her and then picked her up a little bit. So, yeah, I wasn't in there for more than a few minutes, and I don't even remember, like, it's not like I tripped over the shotgun getting to her or anything. She was right there in the hallway.
Was there, I mean, like, so she was in the hallway? Was it, I mean, do you think, like, maybe she was coming in there to you, or, I mean, like, I don't know.
I don't know, because she was, like, right where she was standing just right before. But she wasn't standing anymore. She was, like, laying down with her back facing me. And then, like, her facing the tree, the Christmas tree. So I just walked over and I, like, you know, I shook her and I was like, yo, what, like, you good? Like, what's up? And then she didn't respond, and I, like, kind of rolled her over a little bit, and then I noticed that she wasn't, like, responding at all, and that's when I, like, fell to the ground, and I picked her up, and I put her on my lap, and I started really shaking her and, like, trying to get her to respond to me, and she wasn't, so I don't
but
think
I mean,
she
was. But, I mean, like, there was just no warning, no nothing, just, it's just, like, because I think a million times, like, if I would have checked on her that day, or if I would have known, or if there was something or a warning sign. But, I mean, I can't think of anything, like, nothing that she told me, or, she, you know, she texted me a sweet text that morning. And I texted her back, and she seemed fine. And so I didn't worry all day, and, like, I just didn't see any warning signs whatsoever. Like, I mean, because, you know, since this happened, I've been thinking about, like, you know, things that they say to watch out for suicides and things like that. And she didn't have any of those signs. Like, she's making plans for the future. She was talking about her, you know, excited about us getting her a car. Like, she just, there's no signs that I can see.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think it was all because of that damn alcohol. We'd stopped drinking that shit for a while and then started again. And she specifically said that if we got to the point where we were drinking too heavy again, that we were going to cut it out and we weren't going to do it anymore. And we'd just, like, either get some White Claws or, like, beer or something. So,
I just,
like, she specifically said if we keep arguing and drinking, like, half of this handle every time we get whiskey, then we're going to stop getting whiskey. And I was like, I completely agree. I think that's a good idea. Because we would get, like, we'd both be really happy drunks until somehow we would drink too much, and then we would somehow get into a stupid argument over nothing. And then the next day it would always be like, I don't even know why we argued over that. Like the times that we got into arguments and she came over to y'all's house or something. You know, it never stuck that we were mad at each other or anything like that. She would always talk to me about it, and we'd always be like, yeah, I'm sorry. She would say she's sorry, and we'd be like, we should probably like cut back on the drinking and stuff. And then we wouldn't get into an argument for a while because it was like a conscious thought of ours not to drink that much.
Is that like an argument that was happening? Like, is that like why she did it? Because like there's like literally no reason at all.
What do you mean why?
Like why
she stopped drinking thing?
No, like why she killed herself. There's
no, I'm saying what's your question though?
Like, do you have a reason of why she did it?
I mean, I can't tell you why she did it. I have no idea why she would do that, other than just making a really stupid mistake.
I don't know. It's just so hard. It's like I keep over and over and over trying to figure out anything I could have done to change it, or what could have helped. But I just, like,
what I should have done is I should have gotten rid of that shotgun the first time that she went into the room with it. And I should have just given it to my mom or something, and we shouldn't have started drinking like that again, because we already got into arguments before. I mean, nothing super serious, but to the point where it was like a yelling match, and then she was like, I'm just going to like leave, or she would ask me to leave, and I would leave, obviously, if she asked me to. And then I'd come back, we'd talk about it, and she'd be like, yeah, we should stop drinking that much. So,
yeah,
I mean, we did drink like pretty much an entire bottle worth of whiskey, because we had like this much left in the 1.75. We had about,
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time trying to hear because.
No, I know. I could tell. Yeah. It's loud in there. But we had about this much left of the whiskey that we already had that morning, and we started drinking around like 10:30, something like that. We finished that, and we didn't have any more Coca-Cola, so she was like, I'm gonna go to the store and get some more Coca-Cola, and I'm gonna get some more whiskey, and I'm gonna come back. Do you want to come with me? And you know, I was like, well, preferably if you're okay, you know, just walking across the street, then I don't want to come, but I will come if you want me to. And she was like, no, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. She walks across the street, gets both of those things, comes back to the apartment. And I was still standing up. I was in the kitchen. I was like on my phone messing around. She comes in and I was like, hey, you know, how'd it go? And she was like, it all went fine, blah, blah, blah. She puts it down. And we just opened it, started pouring more and talking like we had been doing. So we got through half of that bottle plus that quarter of a bottle that we'd already drank. So half of a handle turns out to be one full regular size liquor bottle plus that quarter, which would be like, I guess, almost half of a regular one. And we drank all the Coca-Cola, and we didn't eat that day. Like we didn't have any food in our system.
God.
And I mean, I've drank that much, and like not been able to remember pretty much the whole day. So, and I know she has too, because we've woken up and been like, what the fuck did we even do yesterday? Like, did we see Mossy yesterday? Did we go drive around? Did we, you know, we had like no recollection.
But you did remember, you do remember that day though, right?
Yeah, I remember a lot of the day, more than other days that we were that drunk.
Yeah. And y'all, I mean, like, but there was just no big argument. There was no big thing. Like, there was no
big... There wasn't like a big knockdown, drag out fight that we had or anything like that. Usually when we got into arguments, it was always the same crap. It was like the same stupid little things, like insecurities or something. She'd be like, you know, like, I feel like you're just going to leave me, or you're going to cheat on me or something like that. And I'd be like, well, I mean, look who's talking. You're pretty and I'm not. So I think you're going to go cheat on me. And that would spark something that was just alcohol fueled. It basically didn't make any sense at all, because when we're sober, both of us know that we love each other more than anything. And we would never go and cheat on one another, because that's like the most disrespectful and hurtful thing you could do.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, she would never do that. I know that.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I just, like, I feel like there had to be something that she was upset about, and I can't figure out what it was. Like, and so y'all weren't, like, there wasn't a big argument. She wasn't really depressed about anything. She was very happy the day before, like super happy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just can't figure out what would trigger something like that. Like, I don't.
I don't know. I mean, I know she was really under a lot of stress, because when I got COVID the second time, I was sick as hell. Like, I could barely even walk around the apartment. I just had to lay underneath the covers, and I like played video games and just slept. And she made me soup and everything, and she would like help warm up the bath for me and everything, even though she was really sick. And she was still going to work at Rocket Fizz and everything, wearing two masks. I know she was really stressed about that, because we didn't have like any money at all, and we had like no groceries. We went from being like really financially stable to like having absolutely no money, and I know that really stressed her out. And
I know, but she knows she could have asked me and I would help her. She knows that.
I know, but my mom said the same thing. She said that she used to leave like $200 in the mailbox for her and be like, I left you a present, like some earrings and like $200 cash. And Haley would come and like pick up the earrings, but then like Cash App my mom the cash if she sent it through Cash App, or if she left cash in the mailbox, Haley would like take it and like tape it to the front door and leave. Like, she's just never accepted money from anybody.
I don't know, and I just would give $1 million if I could just figure out what it was, or what could have, like, anything that I could have seen. Or because, I mean, I've been looking at all the, you know, all the signs to look for, and she didn't have any of those signs. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there was just nothing. She was, you know, super excited. She was talking about, like, her business, and I know she was doing something for Mazda's mom, and she was doing stuff for Jamie, Stella's friend. She was talking about, like, you know, the business, and she was talking about the car, and she was just seemed excited. Like, she seemed happy, as happy as I've ever seen her, almost.
Yeah, she was doing like a little marketing thing for Mazda's mom at her like tanning salon and beauty parlor or whatever, making like posters and stuff for her.
Yeah.
At an enterprise level, nothing is more important than communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your team to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify business impact, but Grammarly gives you actionable insights and measurable results with features like their effective communication score, which tracks key metrics so you can make data-driven decisions to improve outcomes. visit grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
She said Mazda's mom was going to pay her, so.
Yeah, she did say that she was going to pay her.
Yeah, so I just thought everything, I mean, you know, I worried about her a lot, mainly just worried about her walking or things like that.
Yeah.
But it,
I mean, she did.
This didn't ever even occur to me.
She did always, like, I don't know, seem more, I guess, relaxed and happy around other people. Like when we'd see my mom, before we would go see my mom, she'd be like cussing a blue streak. She'd be pissed off and like walking up and down the hallway being like, I don't want to go do this. And I'd be like, I don't want to go do this. And she'd be like, well, maybe one day we won't have to, we'll just move out to the middle of nowhere and we won't have to go see anybody or do anything. And we could just play with the cat, relax. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good plan to me. And then we'd go see my mom and she'd be like, hey, you know, how are you? Like, give her hugs and all that. And they'd be talking a mile a minute together. So I know she never wanted to disappoint anybody by seeming upset, even when she was upset. That's usually what would make her like break down and cry sometimes, is I'd be like, what's wrong? Like, you're acting like you're fine, but I could tell that you're not fine. And then she'd like start crying and she'd be like, it's just Steven, it's my job, it's Maurice, you know, blah, 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 I can't get a raise, I want to find a different place to work, you know, I hate my life. I'd be like,
I know,
you know,
but
yeah,
she
don't
knew
say
that,
that.
She knew all that was about to change.
Yeah, once she got that car and everything.
I know. I know, and that's what kills me is like she knew that everything was about to get better. And she was excited about it. Like, you know, we would joke about when she got her car, she'd have her sunglasses on and her Starbucks driving around. And I just can't figure it out. Like, for the life of me, I can't figure out why this happened.
Yeah. Hey, if I could go back in time, I would never have told her that I even liked whiskey. I would have never asked her to get me that stupid shotgun for my birthday. I would have stayed in the living room. I wouldn't have gone and changed or anything like that. I don't know. I just think if I, like, instead of going to the bedroom, if I had just walked over and given her a hug and been like, look, come sit down. You know I love you. Like, it's okay. Just relax or something like that, or been like, here, like, you come with me. I'm just going to throw on some like jeans and then we're going to go outside and, you know, get some air or something like that. Try to calm down.
Yeah.
I could have done 100 different things, but I guess I just never expected it to go that way.
I didn't either. I've never seen a sign from, I mean, not never, but not since she was younger have I seen
like
a sign.
Since the shit she's been through, like, she would have for sure done it by now. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, when she was going through me being sick and her having to do everything, that was really hard for her. And I know she was very stressed out, but, like, it never. That never occurred to me. Like, she didn't seem like she was, you know.
Yeah. Well, she told me that she tried a couple times before, but it was never anything like that came to fruition, obviously.
She said she tried to before?
Yeah. But like.
Like how?
She said she used to cut herself, and one time she took like a bunch of these like ibuprofens or something. And all that happened was she threw them all up.
We can't do that.
But,
grab my phone out of shape.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
I don't either. I just miss her. Like, I miss her so bad.
I still write her notes and everything like that. My mom said she had a dream about her up in heaven, though. She was wearing, like, a long white dress.
I knew it.
I keep trying to look for signs from her. I haven't had anything yet, but I'm looking all the time.
Yeah, that's about all you can do. I've been praying that she'll like show up to you in a dream or something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk to psychics or whatever, anything I can, because I'm just.
We got 5 seconds.
Oh, all right. Well, take. Bye.
So you just heard Brooks. Now, he's been in jail for a minute, a couple of weeks, however long it is. Less than a month, since Haley was murdered. And in the previous episode, you heard what he said, what happened that day, et cetera. And in this one, now Brooks has gone from Haley. Didn't know anything about the shotgun. I told her it was just for safety. Now he's come up with a full-fledged excuse of, oh, she tried to kill herself before with the shotgun. We were having an argument, and she picked it up and was taking it to the bedroom and was going to kill herself, and I stopped her, right, because he's a fucking hero. And she was holding it from this end and this end, and I grabbed it in the middle, and I broke the gun and told her, you can't do that. Come on, man. Well, don't you think that would have been important to tell the cops in the beginning, or to tell the family, the other three visits they had with you? Now you've been sitting there, and y'all, he's in a medical ward, right? So it's not like because he busted his hand tearing up the interrogation room. And y'all can see that on the videos. If you're Patreon or convicts, you can see it on those videos are posted up, locked up for y'all. But he's in a medical ward, and does he cry this time? Not once in his whole visit. But he immediately starts out with, oh, she tried to kill herself before with the shotgun, right? Miss Barbara asked him, said, what's going on? He was like, well, I don't know. I've got a court date for whatever marijuana. And I guess they're just going to hold me here until, they want to, right? Well, no, motherfucker. You should say they were going to hold you here. They're looking to charge you for murder. He never says that. But he said, my mom said, it's talked to them and they're trying to get enough, whatever, but it never says anything about a murder charge. And Miss Barbara plays it off saying, well, they don't talk to us. And he knows, this cat knows, like on the last one, he told me basically, these lines are recorded. So he immediately starts with this whole big rigmarole, how she tried to do it before with a shotgun, and he stopped her because he's a hero, right? But fucks up. And again, when I think Stella asked him, he was like, well, she said, did you see the shotgun underneath her? Or did you see the shotgun? He was like, no, she was facing that away. He said, I went in the room and I changed pants this time. First it was a hoodie, then it was whatever, shirt and then his pants. And he said, and I didn't hear anything. And I turn around and she's laying down there, in that position. Well, no, motherfucker, she didn't. And I'm going to be gory one more time. She was shot when she was laying down on the couch. Her entire brain was blown out of the backside of her head and sitting on the floor, to the point where one of the cops says, oh my God, I've never seen an entire intact brain before. She did not suffer that gunshot wound and get up and move across the apartment and lay down in the position she was in and carry the shotgun. And you can't do it. It's against the law of fucking physics. It is impossible to not have your most vital organ in your body. And I'm not going to show you the autopsy photos, but if you saw them, you would understand what I'm talking about. Okay. And it is physically impossible for someone to suffer that interoral gunshot wound, which means the shotgun barrel was placed in her mouth and the trigger was pulled and the force from the shotgun did what it does and it removed everything from inside of her, blew it backwards. And he finds her across the fucking living room with the shotgun underneath her. And he said, oh, I didn't even see the shotgun, you know? And then he said, he walked over and was like, hey, what's up? What's up? What's wrong? And then, I didn't get a response. So then that's when I got down and kind of held her and started shaking her. And it was only like a minute, and they were knocking on the door, and I was only in there for about a minute. And Stella was like, I thought you went downstairs and got some help. He said, no, I didn't go downstairs. I didn't leave the apartment. Yeah, motherfucker, you did. And we got witnesses, right? And he says he didn't see the shotgun. Yeah? Come on, man. She did not get up and go across the room and put herself in that position. All right? Didn't happen. And as far as a 5-foot-nothing female putting a shotgun in her mouth and pulling it, I'm assuming if he's saying this, I mean, does she pull it with her toes? The trigger? I mean, it's a pump shotgun. He says, oh, it's not that long. Motherfuckers, it's the size of a shotgun. It's not a sawed-off shotgun. It's long, you know, and it just didn't happen. And you know it didn't happen. And again, he says, oh, we were drinking a lot. And at some point, Haley wanted to go to the store. And he was like, well, you know, I don't really want to go, but I'll go with you if you want me to. And she left for like 10 minutes and came back and had more whiskey and more Coke. And we drank all the Coke. Well, in other episodes, first it was, y'all went to the store together to get water. Okay. But you took, because your water was broken, but then you told the cops that you took a shower, right? And then in another episode, it's this, and then it's that. And now it's Haley went by herself and he didn't leave. Such a fucking piece of shit liar. And it is what it is. Matter of public record that he's saying these things and you still don't know what actually happened that day. Right. We know that they had the big ass argument. He was like, no, we weren't really arguing. You know, we didn't have any big blowouts or anything. Bullshit. 8:30 at night, the apartment complex manager had to come over and tell you, hey, if you don't stop, I'm calling the cops. And then evidently she kicked you out because you were sitting on the stairs and Buck comes by, your neighbor. He's like, hey, man, you all right? And you're like, yeah, she just kicked me out. And then you around 10 o'clock at night, I guess you got cold and you went back inside and you killed her. Yeah, I mean, you don't remember any of this? Come on, man. You damn sure remember everything clearly. So you say so at that moment where you were standing the whole nine yards. And then to open it up with a new excuse of, oh, well, one time before she did take the shotgun, she was going to go kill herself, but I stopped her from doing it. And then he ends, or towards the end of the interview when he ends it with, well, she tried to kill herself several times before. Come on, motherfucker. And, you know, she ate a bunch of ibuprofen and threw them up, or she used to cut herself. There's no marks on her from that, y'all. I've seen the autopsy photos of her body and everything. There's no self-inflict or anybody inflicted slash marks on her. He's full of shit. But now he's sitting in there, and he's waiting on a murder charge, even though he didn't call it that. He just says, well, I don't really know. And I guess they're waiting on, the detective's waiting on whatever. I'd be like, man, they're trying to pin me for fucking murder, and I didn't do it, da-da-da-da-da. And he's just nonchalant, just neither here nor there. Doesn't really bother him, right? And he's going to wait and see what comes down. I don't get it. Don't get it. Don't get it. And I think that he thinks he is so smart that, I mean, obviously to this point, he hadn't been charged with murder, right? When they're in the jailhouse interviews or visits, and he's going to play it off just like he's playing it off. But every time they talk to him, this will be the last one, y'all, that they talk to him in the jail. Every time they talk to him, he is armoring up, blaming it on Haley, blaming it on the drinking, blaming him. She's tried to do it before. Well, I'm going to tell you in the next episode where Haley was actually at. Okay. And it'll make sense to you. It'll make sense to anybody in the world of what was going down. And I don't think he could handle it, but it's mind blowing. Now we're going to swap from, I've given you the evidence according to Brooks Cleary, all right, from the first, you know, first responders arriving on the scene, audios to the audios with the detectives to these jailhouse visits and all that. Next week, we're going to start to tell you the truth of the matter of what actually happened that day. And it's going to piss you off. And you're going to see, you'd be like, what the fuck? And because I'm, you know, 30 years and I'm doing WTF. And, you know, my heart goes out to Stella and Miss Barbara and Tyler and everybody that knew and loved her. I hate it, but you're really going to hate it when you hear what's coming next. And just continue to like and share it. And when we do the call to action, hopefully, you know, I believe we can get the result we want. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. All right. I wouldn't have gone to Atlanta. I wouldn't have met with this family. I wouldn't have taken this on. I wouldn't be sharing it with y'all if I didn't believe we could get justice for Haley. Hashtag justice for Haley. Period. So a lot more coming up on y'all. Stay tuned. And we are going to be speaking with the family again. And right when we get ready to wrap it up, and they have some more things that they want to say, and rightfully so, right? I mean, this is a journey, this is a story. It has to be told chronological. The evidence has to be presented. I'm presenting it like it would be presented at a murder trial. Okay. And so stick with me. Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much. And Patreon and Convicts, you know, you're getting these commercial free early releases. Usually Cindy has them up by Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. And then, of course, the videos and everything that go with it, they're locked up. So y'all go watch them and just see how cold and callous this cat is. It's kind of shocking. And it makes you wonder for a second, is he not insane? But he's not. I mean, he's just not. If you were insane, you would be like, okay, I did it, and not try to hide anything. You don't hide things if you're insane, right? So, I don't know. Y'all, on Courtney Coco's case, Cold Case Files on January 24th, it's a new series that started, I think, on January 6th. It's Courtney's case is episode number 5 of 6 in the new season of Cold Case Files, and it's going to air on January the 24th. And I'm going to read it for you. So it's called Cold Case Files, Murder in the Bayou. Season 1, episode 5 airs Friday, January 24th. I believe it's 8 p.m. Central Time, y'all. In this description thus far they have listed says, the town of Alexandria, Louisiana, is rocked when the body of Courtney Coco, 19, is found dumped 200 miles from home in Winnie, Texas. The case cools until retired homicide detective turned podcaster discovers her killer hiding in plain sight. Okay, and yeah, I know you've all seen the Dateline, et cetera. This is something we filmed last year in Alexandria. We've been waiting on it to come out. The reason I mention it, first of all, I want you to watch it naturally, and but we're gonna. I want to do the same thing for Haley, all right? And I believe we can get it done. I could never would have solved that case had it not been for lifers, right? And that family, Miss Steffi and them continuing to fight for the 18 plus years that it took, and Miss Barbara and Stella and Tyler, they're continuing to fight, and we're gonna do the same thing. So that's on January 24th, 8 p.m. Central Time on A&E Cold Case Files. That's it. I'm going to holler at y'all next week with some more of Haley's case. And it's going to be very, very important. And I love and appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.